David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Advisor. I am co-host Lisa Urbanski, and I'm super excited to talk to our very special guest today. We have Dr. Susan Landers with us today, and she is the author of So Many Babies. She has a website, she's a doctor, as I said, and today we're going to talk about transitioning in life, women transitioning in life through the decades. And Susan is going to share with us her very powerful story, give us a lot of tips. And if you did not get a chance to listen to the last episode on our channel of Miss Lander, she talked about alcohol and the effects on life. And that was a really exciting episode. So welcome, Susan.
Thanks, Lisa. I appreciate it. I had this really great idea as I was writing a post for my newsletter on Substack. I have a newsletter called Moms Matter, where I write about things that are important to working mothers today. And a lot of the issues that you and your colleagues are going through are really similar to the issues that I went through when I was a younger working mom. And I was writing about my midlife challenge. It was a pivot. It was supposed to be an upgrade. My husband and I had been married 7 years. We both had new jobs in another city. We had to leave Houston and move to another city and buy a new house, sell our old house. And I had my third baby right smack in the middle of all that. Wow. And so as I was writing about this midlife challenge, I thought, well, wow, that's three biggies all at once. And of course, I didn't do very well with that challenge. I missed my friends once I had moved. You know, we had all gotten married together, had babies, worked together, support system. And I just was adrift without my friends and my work colleagues. And here I was, with a new baby. Now I knew how to take care of a new baby because I had two kids. And I wasn't working for the first 4 or 5 months. I was setting up the house, of course, but I just had the worst time. It's a good thing my third child was easy and breastfeeding was easy, but I just had trouble with the other two. And my four-year-old started developing fears, and she talked about being scared of robbers and burglars. And my seven-year-old wasn't transitioning from Montessori to traditional school. And I hated my job once I started to work in the fall. We moved in June. The baby was February, March, April, May, 5 months old. Wow. And I went, can you imagine moving with three kids, a baby, to a whole nother state? It was insane. And, you know, I considered myself pretty strong. I had made it through med school and residency and fellowship, and getting married was a lot of fun, and buying our first house was wonderful, except for the debt. And having my first two children, I had adjusted to. I had figured out, I think, how to work full time with the help of a nanny, be a good mother, get my husband to help me. You know, that's a whole learning curve, how to get your husband to help you when you're a working mom. And so I felt pretty good about where I was the first 7 years of our marriage. But after we moved and I started that new job, I just fell apart. I couldn't sleep well. I didn't eat much. I was in a bad mood all the time. I remember yelling at my poor 7-year-old son and my husband. And, you know, and the worst thing was that, Lisa, my husband loved his new job. He had a position higher than mine. And he had a great secretary and he had a couple of nurses to help him. He's also a physician. And so everything that I was going through, he didn't understand. He was a good helper with the kids, but he was happy to go to work, and I dreaded going to work. There were two women in my division in the new medical school where I worked, and they weren't very friendly. And I don't know why. I don't know what I did wrong, but they really didn't befriend me at all. I did find a new best friend, another woman resident with a new baby. Who had just moved to town with her husband came and found me. And she said, "I understand we're going through the same thing." And I said, "Yes, we are." And so we became fast friends. But you know, Lisa, that single midlife period, I was 40 years old, just like you are. You tell me you're 40. Third baby, new job, new house. I just failed miserably at that transition, those transitions. And I guess I didn't allow myself to feel all my feelings. What I mean by that is, you know, when you leave your apartment or leave a house and buy a new house, that's a big deal for becoming an
Huge
adult,
deal.
right? But you have to pack up the stuff. You have to go through what you did before. And whether it's baby stuff or marital stuff or whatever was special in your previous life, you have to pack it up. And sometimes you have to get rid of it. I don't ever get rid of anything. I'm a hoarder. But anyway, and that's really sad. And then when you move into
Difficult.
a new place, yeah, you unpack and that's exciting. And so how do you, in your mind, make sense of, I'm really sad about moving, but I'm really excited because I have this great new house I want to decorate. It's very confusing. I think when women in midlife embrace their changes, their challenges, we need to expect to feel lots of feelings,
Lots of
not
feelings.
just excitement and joy, but fear, regret, sadness. And I was too hard on myself. I didn't allow myself to feel all the feelings, I don't think. My husband just kept saying, "What is wrong with you? This is more money. This is a bigger house. You have a nice nanny." He just kept saying, "This is all great." And it didn't feel great to me at all. I mean, here I was, my little 4-year-old was scared of robbers and burglars, and I didn't know how to help her with that except check every door and every window before we went to bed at night. Anyway, the job change was the biggest struggle for me. Having a third child, I was okay with, although it's bedlam. How many kids do you have, Lisa?
I actually have zero of my own.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, you have a lot to look forward to if you do have children. Do you have any stepchildren?
Yes, I have
Great.
three girls.
Great. 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 Wonderful. So, you know how it is with three children. It's bedlam. It's just everybody's going somewhere sometime.
Everybody's different personality, different
Yes.
crisis, all at the same time. Yeah, totally.
Exactly. And it's mom's job. Or stepmom's job to handle all of that. That's just what our culture tells us we're supposed to do, which is another one of my big gripes about for modern mothers. We get the wrong message. I mean, you have to be superhuman to handle everything. You have to be superhuman to handle three kids, maybe in different schools, maybe a baby or a toddler, and your job, and your husband, and your household, and daycare, or your nanny, or whatever. That is just a big load of emotional weight, burden that
And
it
your health and
always,
wellness.
yes, and it always falls on the mom. Well, typical. I put my health and wellness last. I worried more about my kids and my husband and getting him all set up. And because I'd had that 4 month break before I started work, he started work right away. So I thought he needed my help when in fact, probably it was the other way around. The new job was, I thought, going to be good. And a lot of us leave a job and go into another job thinking, I need the change. I don't like my manager. I don't like my boss. I want to go somewhere else. I need a change. I want more money. I want a different schedule. Those are all the reasons that women change their jobs, not usually for money. You know, most women don't work for money. We work to like what we do and to feel fulfilled. So I thought my job would be a good change. And it was a harder call schedule. It was not very friendly women in my group. It was a whole different schedule. I was assigned a new research project and I hadn't finished one from my previous work. I was assigned a quality improvement initiative that I didn't know anything about. I had to learn all about that work. I'm glad I did, but I felt like I had just been inundated with challenges. And without
Change.
a without a mentor, without a helper, without colleagues at work to bounce ideas off of. You know what we really love about our jobs when we're happy is our work colleagues, our routines, our scripts. You know, we all love to know who we can depend on and know who we can go to if we have questions. Like you and Stacy talk a lot when you have questions and things to sort through. You would not feel comfortable working with a new person right on out of the get-go. You would say, what would Stacy think? Or how would we have done this? And when I changed jobs, I went from one children's hospital to another. They did things differently. It didn't feel good. And I would call people back at the old children's hospital and say, what do you think about so and so? And how can I do so and so? And I think I just resisted the change at work so much that it affected my overall mental health. So here I was, the new house sort of fell into place okay. I was really lucky. I had a sweet young student for a nanny. Her husband was in pharmacy school and she needed the extra money. So she worked out great. But the job was so bad, it just kind of clouded everything about my thinking and my reacting. I didn't sleep, I didn't eat, I certainly didn't exercise or talk to friends. Well, when I did call my friends back in Houston, I would cry because I missed them so much. I mean, I wasn't doing anything that was helpful. I was only doing things for myself that were harmful. I felt like I was wallowing in my misery. Can I ask, have you ever experienced a midlife change, like a job change or a city move, anything like that in your midlife?
So right about 3.5 years ago, right when kind of COVID ended and I was opening up back to going back to work, I realized that my current position wasn't for me. So I ended up getting a new job. And around the same time, I met my current partner and we moved in together. So within like 2 months, I moved to a whole new area in my city and started a whole new career after being so familiar with the stuff around me. And it was insane. Like, I literally felt like my brain was just like, nothing's familiar. What do I do? Where's my stuff? It was really challenging.
Yes, exactly. And I think we all go through this to some extent with a city change, a job change, an apartment
Yeah.
or a house change, whether you throw in having a baby or not, it means that we lose our routine. We lose our script, so to speak. We've that mentor at the other job isn't there, and those work colleagues are missing, and we have to rebuild all of that. Now,
Right.
one thing that does help, and you probably figure this out, if you think about the things that you did previously when you adapted to change and challenge, your previous successes.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good. Except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And you said to yourself, I can do this. I've done this before. I can do this. That helps. When we give ourselves positive self-talk, not negative,
100%. Yep.
that helps us. I can do this. You know, I have the
Yep.
training, I have the skills. This is the right person, right partner, right location, right apartment,
Yep.
whatever. And then you can allow yourself to feel sort of excited about the change. But if you're not positive about the change and what it might give to you, if you're only negative, I think it makes it much harder to adjust, much, much harder. The other
Yeah,
thing that's
100%.
so important, I think, is self-care during the change period. Because when I describe what I went through, you didn't hear me say anything about how I took care of myself. I mean, I didn't. I did everything but.
Yeah.
And one of the things that makes a huge difference is having some time to yourself to sit, to reflect, to
Yeah.
think about, okay, where am I? What am I doing? What's going well? What's not? What are my needs? And that process, that me time process, whether you're running, whether you're walking, whether you're out biking, whether you're in a yoga class, whether you're journaling, that me time is how we make sense of how we're adapting to change. Another thing, and you probably figured this out, is if you do not communicate with your partner what you're going through, they don't have a clue how you're feeling. They
Yeah.
just think you're acting kind of peculiar.
Yep. Yep. Totally. Totally.
And they can't read your mind. They do not know what you're thinking. I mean, my husband knew I was in a bad mood or grouchy or sad or whatever. And he kept
Right.
saying, "Are you ever going to be happy?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm happy. I love this baby. I love my kids. I love this new house, but I hate my job. And I need to talk to you about why I hate my job." And
Yeah.
we had moved because his job was a much better deal than mine, and that was okay. I had three little kids. I was willing to make that decision, but I didn't think I would hate it. And so talking to my husband, talking to my partner about how I felt, he wanted to fix things. You know how men are, they just want to
Yeah.
fix everything. But I would say, you can't fix this. Just listen. Just
Yeah.
listen to me, honey. Just listen to if I'm sad, if I'm mad, if I want to vent, whatever it was. And I asked him to do that, and he did it. And it really helped. It
Wow,
really
nice.
helped. Yes, it made a huge difference. So feeling all the feelings was a good thing. Communicating with my partner was vital. Taking some me time. I did some running in the neighborhood and biking with my son. Those were big deals for me. Finding a new friend at work. Boy, she was just a treasure. And we were going through the same things. I didn't find a mentor at my new job for, wow, another couple of years. But that's something that a lot of women, I think, underestimate the benefits of. If you have a mentor at your work, they can tell you how they got through some of the same challenges. They can tell you how they dealt with the culture, because every workplace has a different culture.
Oh, totally.
And yeah, and when you move into a new workplace, you kind of have to learn the culture. You can't just be a bull in a china shop. And in retrospect, I think that's what I did. I wanted to do things the way I had at my previous job at the other children's hospital, and that's not the way they did stuff at the new
Right.
place. So asking questions might have been off-putting to people, and my calling my previous partners might have insinuated that the current people didn't know. I don't know, but I struggled to adjust to that new job in a way that I wish I had kept my head down, found a mentor, somebody who could say, this is how things work around here, because you really kind of have to go with the flow the first 6 months to a year. And then you kind of might want to speak up at a meeting
Yeah, you
instead
gotta
of,
feel it out, right?
you have to feel it exactly.
Yeah.
Now, what were the other things that worked? What were some things that worked for you when you were making those big transitions?
It was finding something, like you said, that I loved on my own time as an outlet to, balance everything. So my nervous system, whether it was like, okay, you're anxious right now, so where is this coming from? You need to stop and breathe. You need to give yourself grace because this is so new. Like, you can't expect everything to feel great. Like, the changes are positive, but you're gonna figure this out. So it was a lot of self-talk, mindset work, finding a yoga studio, just, really going within and really feeling all the things like you talked about, right?
That's just perfect. And that's probably why you came through the change relatively unscathed, because you allowed
Did I though? I'm
yourself.
just kidding.
You allowed yourself to refill, nourish yourself, take care of yourself. I mean, I've always said, I learned after 10 years of being a working mom, self-care is not selfish. We do not do anything well without taking care of ourselves. And
Love that.
whether it's running or exercising or yoga or journaling or having coffee with a friend, those connections, that physical effort frees our mind, and those social connections reaffirm our feelings. And those are the things that make us feel secure. You know, when I think back about it, the only thing that first year that made me feel good was breastfeeding my baby, because she was really easy to nurse. And I nursed her until she was a year old. And I remembering thinking, this is the only thing in my life that's going well. It was pitiful. It was pitiful. But anyway,
I wonder if that had something else to do with, like, it was your time. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
you
Oh, it
knew that
was.
in that moment, that was your only responsibility. Because I know when I like go into a studio for yoga and I put my phone in the car, I'm like, nobody
Yes.
can get in touch with me. So it's my time and I have zero stress,
Exactly. That's a good point. Well, we didn't have iPhones back then. My phone was like the size of a brick when it first came out. But yeah, you sit down to nurse your baby and it's 30 minutes, clearly. And it's just you and the baby, and you just think and you are. And you're right. It was the place that made me feel secure and safe and comfortable. And then I love exercise too. That's always been one of my biggest mood stabilizers. The other thing that I benefited from, so I have to admit that after the first year, I was depressed. And a friend at work said, why don't you go see a good psychiatrist? They'll make you feel better. And he began did some psychotherapy and gave me antidepressants. And I did bounce back pretty quickly. And I think it was more the talking to him than it was the medication. I think that my issues were so mixed up. My feelings were so mixed up that I had to sit down and talk through it with him. This is what I think about the kids. This is what I think about my marriage. This is what I think about this city or this house. And this is what I think about the job. And we went through everything. And I actually examined all of my priorities. So the other thing that helped me in my midlife challenge was really taking a look again at my values, my priorities. Did I want to have more time with the kids or more time at work? What was I going to do to get a better schedule at work so I could have more time with the kids? What was I going to do to have more time with my husband so he would support me more? And as we started looking at all those issues, I felt like I was making progress in understanding.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion, capital at risk.
My adjustment to all those changes. So I guess the message is talking through the feelings, your expectations. We all have self expectations. Talking through the expectations and the feelings with another person, whether it's professional or a partner or a great friend, is just crucial because midlife transitions are hard. They are hard. We're adults. Our parents are not around, and we don't want to know what they have to say anyway. And we need to figure out that we're capable of dealing with tough things. We need to remember that we've done that in the past. We need to remind ourselves that we have strengths. We do not have just weaknesses. I was able to get a lot done. I'm very responsible. I'm a little bit of a perfectionist. And I was able to get a lot of stuff done those first 2 years. It ran me a little ragged, but still, I got a lot done. And not just at work, meet the teachers, join the PTA, hire the nanny, go to soccer practice, all the stuff. And so I was able to look at things that I was doing well and give myself positive feedback. And women don't do that naturally. I don't think women are taught to say, hey, good job. The guys tend to say, oh, I did a really good job. But we don't do that nat innately, I don't think. Do you?
I mean, I've learned to because
Good.
I know that the pressures that women face are enormous, right? And
Yes,
so
right.
I've learned to be my best friend, my best advocate, but it hasn't always been that way. And
Right.
so before I was always like, do more, do more, do more, do more.
Right,
And
right.
that's difficult. So.
Yes. And when your trusted friend or partner says you're doing a good job, then you might say, well, I really trust them. Maybe they're right. Maybe I am handling this. There is no right way to adjust to a midlife transition, there's only your own way. And I want women who hear this to know that whatever mistakes they make, they're going to learn from. Whatever challenges they face, they're going to be okay. They're going to learn things about themselves that they didn't know. They're going to discover strengths that they may not have used before. and they're going to co go through it, but it all takes time. And we're not very patient with ourselves. We're patient with our children, we're patient with our partners. Sometimes we're patient at work with coworkers, but we are not patient with ourselves. And we have to learn to give ourselves the time, the grace to adjust, to adapt to these major midlife transitions.
Absolutely. Wow, what a powerful story. And so many changes. And I'm a true believer that the universe gives us what we can handle, you know, and that it
Yes.
allows us the next, so it gives us a challenge, which then opens an opportunity. So
Right.
that's kind of how I keep my mind at ease, knowing that, you know, what I'm going through is I'm going to come out on the other side. But wow, what a powerful story. Thank you
That's
so much
good.
for that.
That's good. You've learned a lot already, and you're only 40.
Oh, yeah, I've got
You
an old
know,
soul.
yeah, midlife, I think your 40s is the decade in which you learn who you are, what you're good at, what your strengths are, and you really begin to finally feel some confidence in that, who you are as a unique person. And I'm glad to hear you've already discovered that. That's wonderful.
Oh, well, thank you. And you're so right. Like, you're so right. Everything you're saying, I can relate to on such a high level. And our listeners are going to get so much impact from this episode.
I'm glad to do it. I just think it's an important topic that we're not talking much about. You know, working moms are getting burned out because they're being thrust into all these situations and they're overwhelmed. And a lot of it is how we adapt to the challenges, how we adjust during those challenging times.
Well, amazing. Our listeners are going to love all of your advice. And for all of you, this is Dr. Susan Landers, and you can find her at susanlandersmd.com.
Right, right. I
So
have
that's
a
where you can.
blog. I have resources for parents. I have a newsletter on Substack called Moms Matter, and it has free subscriptions and paid subscriptions, so you can check it out. I love talking about working mothers' issues and challenges.
Amazing, amazing. So, anyone out there who needs some help or advice and you're going through any of the things that Susan has mentioned, please reach out to her. And
Yes.
wow, it's been such an honor being here with you today. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks, Lisa. I appreciate it. I love what Stacy's doing, and I love that she talked me into doing a Moms Matter podcast. So this is great.
Well, moms matter and the work you're doing matters. So, what a powerful, powerful thing. Thank you again. And to all of you listening, we'll see you again soon.
Thank you.